Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, these last weeks we've been talking about the Lord loving, or us loving the Lord with all our hearts. Can you turn this down a bit? We're booming a bit up. Thank you. And then last week, with all our minds. And that renewing of the mind is crucial because it's through the renewing of our minds that we know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So this week our theme is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. Actually, the order in which the scripture has it is that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. The mind, of course, is part of the soul life. But we are to love the Lord with all our soul. Now, we know the soul has three main parts to that: our mind, our emotions, and our will. But they make up what is really our personality or our character. So your natural soul life is your natural personality or character. So we are to love the Lord our God with the whole of our personality, the whole of who we are. And you remember that the Greek word psuche, that is translated soul, is the same word for life. So you can equally translate this phrase, you shall love the Lord your God with all your life, with all your natural life. Of course, in the spirit, we have the life of God, we have the character of God, we have Christ in us. And what God's purpose is for the character of Christ that we have in our spirit to be expressed more and more in the character of our soul. Of course, the whole of the gospel is to save our souls, or if you like, to heal our souls. There again, the Greek can be translated either heal or save. That means that our souls are to come into what? The essence of all that we've been talking about this term, loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. The essence of that is to be living in agreement with God. This is the key word. That if we love him with all our hearts, we're in heart agreement with God. We're in heart agreement with Jesus. Therefore, we say and do that which is in agreement with him. The renewing of our minds is all about bringing our thinking into agreement with God's thinking. To take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ so that every thought is in agreement with the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ in our spirit, where Christ is in our spirit. But of course, we also have the natural mind, and we have the life of Christ in our spirit, but we also have the natural life in our soul. So our soul life is to come into agreement with God, with Jesus, just as our mind and our hearts are to be in agreement with him. Now, if we live in agreement, then we agree with his word, And we agree with the Spirit who is given us to guide us into all the truth. Now, the first thing that we have to recognize is that if you are not in agreement with him, you are in disagreement with him. There isn't anything in between. Either you're in agreement or you're in disagreement. There's no neutral position. Now, when you look at the teaching of Jesus, you can see how this theme of living in agreement with him exists throughout his teaching. We are to be merciful as he is merciful. What does that mean? We are in agreement. We are to love as he loves us. What does that mean? We're in agreement. We are merciful as he is merciful. We love as he loves. Jesus preaches against anything that undermines agreement. This is why he says, do not judge. If you judge someone, you're not in agreement with them, and neither are you in agreement with God, because he's told you not to judge. So the very fact that you judge someone is disagreement both with God and with man. So we're not expressing love for God with our souls whenever we are in disagreement. Jesus is very emphatic because he repeats this on a number of occasions in different contexts, that whenever we pray, we are to forgive if we have anything against anyone. Why? Because if you have anything against anyone, you're not in agreement with them. You are holding on to a disagreement. And what Jesus actually says is, if you do that to others, then you will not receive forgiveness from the Lord, because you're in disagreement not only with the person you refuse to forgive, but you're in disagreement with God who has told you to forgive. So it's like Jesus saying, all your prayers will be wasted if you're praying out of a position of disagreement. So whenever you pray, make sure you're in agreement with man and therefore with God. We can't separate the two. Now we know that God has called us and placed us in what is called the New Covenant. And you've studied covenant, so you know that covenant is agreement. And if you remember the seven principles of a covenant that you have studied in True Covenant, those are all about how we live in agreement with God and therefore in agreement with one another. So we will defend one another. We will not listen to any negative things that are said about our brother and sister. We won't allow any negative to come in and cause any disagreement. We do everything we can to preserve our agreement, our commitment, if you like, to one another, just as we do everything that is necessary to preserve our agreement with God. You can't divide these two, can you? As John says in his first letter, Anyone who says he loves God but does not love his brother is a liar, he's deceived, and the truth is not in him. That if you do not love your brother who you can see, then you cannot love God who you do not see. So all that is very emphatic, that what God intends is for there to be this agreement with God and this agreement with one another. Now, there are two key scriptures that help us to understand the importance of this, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. In Psalm 133, we read about how wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing that flows from head to foot. But what is the promise that God gives in that psalm? For there the Lord commands the blessing. So when there is agreement, where there is therefore unity, God commands the blessing. So he warns us whenever we pray, make sure there's no disagreement. Make sure your heart is right towards God, towards others. Then there will be agreement, there will be unity, and God will command the blessing. So in other words, if we're holding on to any disagreement, that undermines that unity, and therefore we can miss the blessing that otherwise we would be able to enjoy. The New Testament scripture is what Jesus prayed for all those who would become believers in that great high priestly prayer in John 17. Father, may they be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. That's like Jesus saying, Father, may they be in agreement with us, may they be in agreement with one another, dwelling in us and we in them, and then being in that unity with one another. For when they live in agreement with us and in agreement with one another, the world will know the truth of the gospel. People will turn to you as a result of that unity, that agreement that they see among your children. Of course, there are many other scriptures that support this, but these are the two that we need to focus on this morning. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's any violent or aggressive division. Division is, if you like, an extreme form of disagreement. But what God is talking about here is not division, but just disagreement. Our thinking not being in line with his thinking, our actions, therefore, not being in line with his word. So we come back to the scripture that I mentioned last week when we were talking about the renewing of the mind, that the outworking of this, the outworking of loving God with all of our hearts, is that whatever we do in word or deed, we would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in other words, this loving God with all our soul will have very practical outworking, that whatever we do or say will be done in the name of Jesus. That means in agreement with him. You see, you can't do anything in the name of Jesus if it is in disagreement with him. You can't say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, if it isn't what Jesus wants, if it isn't in line with the word of Jesus. So we can only do in his name what agrees with him, what agrees with his word. Now, when we were speaking yesterday, I mentioned to you students the scripture that says that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, and remember, that's your water baptism, you're baptized into Christ. Your spirit baptism is when you're baptized by Christ. But you are baptized into Christ, and the scripture says, all who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Now, when you look at one another, what you actually see is how people are dressed. Whether you like the way they're dressed or not is immaterial. You see what they're wearing. So what Paul is saying in that scripture is that when people look at us as believers, they should see that we're dressed with Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that what we say and do reveals Jesus. See, this is another scripture which points us to what it means to live in agreement with him. Every time we say or do that which is in agreement with him, we reveal something of Jesus. And if we're clothed with Christ, then that's really to be the manner of our lives. Ideally, all we say and all we do reveals Jesus. Now, you see, all this is just a reflection of what you see in the life and the ministry of Jesus himself when he was on earth. He was clothed with the Father. Do you not realize that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? In other words, he was saying to the disciples, if you observe what I do and listen to what I say, you will realize that what I do is revealing the Father, and what I say is revealing the Father. And I reveal the Father through all that I say and do, because I live at one with him, in agreement with him. See, the amazing thing about Jesus is that so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us on the cross, he lived in perfect agreement with the Father. Even though he shared our weakness, even though he was tempted in every way just as we are, he never did anything in disagreement with the Father. You can see right at the beginning of his ministry when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, that the devil's objective was to get Jesus to do just one thing in disagreement with the Father, because then there would be no salvation for anyone. What was the sin of Adam? The first act of disagreement with God. The first deliberate act. Eve was deceived, but Adam chose to do something that he knew was disagreement with God. As a result of that one act of disagreement, he lost fellowship with God. God no longer walked with him in the garden. He was actually excluded from the garden, which shows us how significant, how important it is to God that we live in agreement. And when you think that there would be no cross, no salvation, if Jesus hadn't lived in perfect agreement, that should say something to us about how important it is for us to live in agreement. What brings division in churches is when people disagree. Why do they leave? Because they disagree. They might be critical of the leadership, they might feel that they've been hurt by somebody, they can make up all kinds of excuses, but actually they've really got no excuse unless they're being sent out. They've got no excuse because they have violated covenant, they have broken the agreement that they have with other believers, but also, therefore, with God. So, we mustn't judge such people, we must forgive them. But you see, There is only the blessing that God desires where there is the unity, where is that anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings us together. Now, we're about to start reading the Acts of the Apostles each day in the church's Bible reading plan. And of course, as soon as we begin to get into Acts, we see how God did not send the Holy Spirit from heaven, the fulfillment of what Jesus had promised, until the disciples were of one heart and mind. They were all together in agreement. And I believe the 10 days when they were coming together to meet in prayer was so that God could deal with all the areas of disagreement. You see the jealousy that obviously existed between Peter and John, two very different characters during the time of the gospel. But then we've only got to get to chapter 3 of Acts, and they're actually operating together in unity. When the beggar at the temple gate was healed. And then, of course, they're in prison together for preaching the gospel together. There is a unity that hadn't existed before, a unity brought about by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that what God was doing, or one of the things he was doing in their hearts during those 10 days, is confronting them and getting rid of all the areas of disagreement. They needed to do two things. And this is the essence of what Jesus had been teaching them for 3 years, but especially what he was teaching them at the Last Supper. They are to, first of all, believe. What is faith? Faith is being in agreement with God. Faith in his word is trusting in what God says. You agree with what he says. You agree with the revelation of truth. You agree with the promises that he's giving you. So any unbelief is disagreement. Any doubt in the truth of what God's word says is disagreement with God. So he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, says Jesus. He will not be condemned, but has already passed from death to life. We pass from death to life because we have agreed with the words of Jesus. We have believed that the Father sent him, that therefore he is the Son of God. So if we are living in agreement with God, we are living by faith in his word. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is guiding us into the truth of the word. He's encouraging that faith all the time. He is the spirit of faith, and faith is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, Jesus makes this astonishing promise that if you agree in prayer with just two of you agreeing, it will be done by my Father in heaven. That's the power of agreement. But what the word that's translated agreement actually means is to be in symphony with. It's the Greek word from which we get our word symphony. That means that we're not just agreeing together in the words of a prayer, but our lives are in harmony. We are living in agreement. So where there is that unity, God commands the blessing. Even when there's only two of you living in unity together, God will command the blessing. And whatever you ask in prayer, it will be done. That's what Jesus is saying. So that unity is so powerful. Alongside that faith is, of course, love. But love, you see, as Jesus made clear, that is expressed in obedience. Every act of disobedience, like every unbelief, every act of disobedience is disagreement with God. If I don't put his word into action, I disagree with him. So it's not enough for me simply to know his word or even to say I believe his word, because we're not to be hearers only, but doers of the word. So I'm only living in agreement with him if I do the word. So if he says, you know, love one another as I have loved you, then I am to love others, not just know that it's his will for me to love others. I have to put the word into operation, into practice. Only if I act on the word am I in agreement with him. So I'm not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. So we see that every unbelief, every doubt, every fear is in reality an evidence of disagreement with God. So the Lord wants to nail those things. By the same token, every act of disobedience is disagreement with God. Now, think for a moment of your relationships with other people. If you are establishing a relationship of love. I don't mean love, but of love in the Lord. You know that that relationship is healthy when the two of you are in agreement. That agreement is based upon two things: trust, and trust, you see, is faith. If you trust that person, you have faith in the trustworthiness of that person. You know that if there is any betrayal of your trust, that will immediately have a negative impact on your relationship. Immediately, you will no longer be in the same agreement that you were in while that trust existed. Now, in any of your human relationships, you know that that undermining of trust has an immediate negative impact. And that the relationship can only be restored when that trust is restored. Now, just as that is true about our human relationship, so it's true with our relationship with God. When we don't trust his word, you see, that's undermining our unity with Jesus. When we don't believe his word, when we give way to doubt and unbelief, even questioning God and his word and his faithfulness in what he is outworking in our lives, that damages our unity and our relationship with God, because there is no longer the agreement that comes with trust. You know also in your relationship with others that if you are in disagreement about anything, that immediately damages your relationship also. The undermining of trust always has a negative effect, but so does being in disagreement. And you know that if the relationship is to be restored, you have to face the disagreements and come back together to a place of agreement, even if that agreement is agreeing to disagree, but in a way that will not, you see, damage your relationship and your unity. Now, you see, that is the equivalent of what happens when we disobey God and we're not in agreement with Him. It immediately has a negative impact on our relationship. I think the amazing thing about God, or one of the amazing things, is that He is so merciful and patient and blesses us so much, even when there are elements of disagreement with Him, both because of a lack of faith on our part and also because of disobedience. And much of what Jesus says challenges both those things. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and greater things still will he do, because I go to the Father. You see, you are in disagreement with God if you do not believe that about yourself, because you're a believer. And He says, this is true of anyone who believes. So you bring your mind, you bring your soul life in agreement with what He has said. I don't want there to be any unbelief because I find the Word of God too challenging. The kind of theology that says the signs and wonders were just for the apostolic age and not for today is actually unbelief and disagreement with God, which is why those who believe such things do not see the miracles and healings that others see. Because in that area of their theology and therefore of their thinking, they're living in disagreement with God and His Word. So wrong theology can have a very disastrous effect upon the lives of Christians. But as far as we are concerned, you see, we don't want to focus on the negative, but on the positive. So if I am in agreement with God, I pray over my life every day, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can do and will do the same things as Jesus and even greater things, because you have gone to the Father and poured out your Holy Spirit. I'm then in agreement with God. And when I'm in agreement with God, then I can see the outworking of His Word. So it isn't until I come into agreement with Him that I'm going to see the same things and greater things still. Hello? So you see, then you come into an agreement of faith. You believe that God is able to do far more abundantly and all you could ask or imagine according to that power that is at work within you. You believe, you're in agreement. And you see, this affects your soul life, the kind of person you are, the personality or character that you have as a believer. You are not the same character as you were before you believed, because that person has died. And now you have been raised to a new life and are a new creation, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So your expectation of what God will do in you and through you is different from any expectations, if there were any, that you had before you were a Christian. Now you believe I can do the same things as Jesus and even greater things because he says so. And the power of God that is alive within me through the Holy Spirit will enable God to do in my life far more abundantly than all I can ask or imagine. Now, when I begin to think like that, I'm in agreement with God. And that's therefore going to have an impact on my behavior, not just on my attitudes, but on what I do and what I expect to be possible for me to do. In other words, if I believe what he says, I'm looking for the supernatural. I'm expecting the supernatural. Every day of my life, I'm expecting the supernatural. Because I'm a believer. And because I believe what God says. So I'm not just living in the natural. I'm living with the supernatural life of God impacting my natural soul life. My soul life is not limiting the spirit through unbelief, but I'm submitting my soul life to the life of the spirit. So that now what God says will impact my soul, will impact the things I say, will impact the way I think, will impact what I do. So I do think more and more with the mind of Christ. And I do expect that it's possible for me to do and say whatever I do and say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God that he has made this possible. Therefore, I agree with what God said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You see, Jesus says, pray that you will not enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The natural life is weak. The soul life is weak. It is only strengthened by being submitted to the spirit, so the spirit of God can be expressed through my soul life. That's faith. So who I am as a person becomes impacted by the power of God. It should be the case, therefore, that if I reach out to touch the lives of other people, I'm going to touch them with his love, I'm going to touch them with his power, I'm going to touch them with something supernatural through what I say and through what I do. That's because I've been baptized into Christ and am clothed with Christ. All who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ, the word says. So just as that outworking of faith brings me into a place where I can live in agreement with God so that the life of God and the power of God can flow out of my life, so it's true also of obedience. You can't separate these two things. This is why Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, he speaks of the obedience of faith. That he says it's his apostolic responsibility to lead people into the obedience of faith. You see, the lack of faith causes disagreement. The disobedience causes disagreement. So we need the two. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will agree with me. If you love me, you will do what I say. And we only do what he says because we're in agreement with him. So if I love the Lord, I want to walk in agreement with him. I'm having just such a wonderful, wonderful time with God these days. I'm just having an amazing time. Absolutely amazing time with God. I can't get enough of him. Why? Because I'm just filling myself with his word. And the consequence of that, of spending time doing that, you see, is that you come into a deeper, greater agreement with him. And when you're in that place of agreement, your confidence grows. What do we read in Hebrews? That we're to come before the throne of God with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. And where does that full assurance come from? From the Word of God. From believing that Word, from speaking that Word, from then seeing the outworking of that Word in our lives. Beloved, if you don't do the business, you won't see the results. It's as clear as that. So here Jesus is praying for not only those who had been his disciples, but praying for all those who are going to become believers, that there will be this unity of agreement. Just listen to what he says. My prayer is not for them alone, for those who have been with him. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. There is to be that same agreement with God in our lives that Jesus had with the Father. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. That living in agreement will result in faith, people in the world turning to Christ. I have given them the glory you gave me. That's a truth I speak over my life every day. Doesn't mean he glorifies me, but I'm seated with him in heavenly places, and that's the place of glory. So I live and pray from that place where he has assigned me, where he has placed me through his mercy and grace. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. One with him and one with each other. Now, I believe that every prayer of Jesus gets answered. It would be totally inconceivable for Jesus to pray something that doesn't get answered. Then he says what the nature of this unity is. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. First with us, with the Father and the Son. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. They will see, that people will see that they're loved by you, Father, just as they see you're loved by me, by the things that I do. And people will see you love them by the things that they do. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So you see, God desires this unity above all things. And where there is this unity, he commands the blessing. So how do we respond to this command to love God with all our soul? Well, as with everything in the spiritual life, it's always a question of repentance and faith. The repentance anything turning away. Repentance is turning, isn't it? Turning away from anything in our lives that is disagreement with God, whether it's disagreement of faith, disagreement in disobedience, turning away from every disagreement, knowing God's forgiveness, so that we can then focus on the truth of His Word and live in agreement. It's turning away, turning round from any walk in disagreement, of unbelief or disobedience, and turning round so that we then walk in agreement of faith and obedience, repentance and faith. The repentance leads to that walk of faith. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, what does that mean? Agreement. If you remain in me, living in agreement with me, and my words remain in you, you're living in agreement with my words, believing my words, obeying my words, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. What tremendous promises and blessings come out of agreement. So it's not suggesting that we're living in division, either with God or with one another, but ensuring that there isn't any disagreement between God and ourselves, and between each other. That we do not allow any negatives to undermine our confidence. Now let's just finish with this. To love the Lord with all your soul is to love the Lord with all your personality and character. A lot of those areas of disagreement, not only with God, but especially with others, are a result of the flaws in your personality and character. And those are the things that God intends to deal with. See, that's what He dealt with in Peter and John during those days before the Spirit came. And you see the transforming effect of that in the way that there was unity between them during the time of the Acts of the Apostles. So it's allowing God to deal with any elements of our soul life, any aspects of our personality or character that cause us to be in disagreement. Pride is obviously one thing that causes disagreement. Because pride is thinking that you're better than others. And how can you live in agreement with people if you think you're better than they are? Even Jesus didn't have that attitude. He came as the servant of all. Selfishness is obviously the very opposite of love and laying down your life for your friends. Judgmental character, critical character. All these things are negative. These things actually create disagreement with others and therefore with God, because it's disagreement with his word. So it's not enough to say, well, I'm just that kind of person, because that kind of person is not the new creation in Christ that God has called you to be. And it isn't that you need ministry and counseling. You need repentance and faith, and God will do the work. So it's a cop-out to say, well, you know, I need more ministry because I have this problem. You will continue to have that problem no matter how much ministry you have until you repent of it. Then God will deal with it. Amen. So, we are on the verge of greater things still. And you see, God is dealing with us, as he always does, to prepare. I believe he's preparing for one of his suddenlies. You know, we'll get to the point where suddenly everything is different. Just like on the day of Pentecost, something happened and suddenly the whole situation was transformed. It's not that we're just looking for an event, but there probably will be a number of events. But what God is doing is the necessary preparation work within us for the multiplication that he has promised us. And, you know, there will come the point where suddenly we realize we're in the middle of it. And we realize it's not through anything that we've done, but it's the result of what God has done in us. It's all the work of his mercy and grace. So when he brings us this word about loving him with all our hearts, with all our minds, and with all our souls, this isn't an end in itself, but it's so that the good things that he has planned for us to walk in are going to be seen and evidenced. We're going to be living in those good things. And they're going to be things beyond what we know at present, or what some of us know at present, because we will be doing the same things as Jesus. We will be doing greater things still. We will actually see that God is moving in such a way beyond anything we could thought or think or imagine. We never imagined that such great and wonderful things could happen, that God could do such great and wonderful things through each one of us. That's what he's preparing for. And he's not going to be satisfied with anything less. So why should we? All the time, God wants his best for us. He's not the God of second best. Amen? So when we want the best, in other words, when we want what he wants, we are prepared to put our souls on the line. Say, okay, Lord, do in me whatever you need to do, so that I have that faith and that loving obedience that means I can live in agreement with you and in agreement with others, that you command the blessing. And somehow, through that dynamic of unity that you have brought about by your Spirit, the world around us is impacted. And people know that you love us, even as you love Jesus. And they begin to see us doing the same works as he, that we are actually living in the outworking of everything we say and do is being done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not just some things and other things being a contradiction to that, but somehow God moves in our lives in such a way that everything comes into agreement with him. And in everything we say and do, we're revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. That we don't want to say anything. We don't even want to think anything that is not in agreement with him with his word, with his will. That even if a thought comes that is not from him, no! I reject that. I refuse to accept that or to dwell upon that. No! Because I want to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. No, that thought is not in agreement from God. It doesn't come from God. I reject it completely. We've got to do it, see? Got to do it. Not just know that we ought to do it. We have to do it. Praise God. Not to allow any of those strongholds to be rebuilt in our lives. So, beloved, this is exciting. Because I believe, you know, God only speaks to us like this when he knows we mean business. He always means business. But he waits for us to mean business with him. Yes, Lord, we are aggressively going after your best. With all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our strength. I mean, if we love him with all of our strength, we're putting everything we have into loving him and therefore into being in agreement with him. Let's all stand, come into the middle here. Oh, hallelujah. I'm happy. Anybody else happy here? I'm excited. I'm excited. I just feel that God is. I think he's doing already amongst us such deep and important things. But, you know, I think it's nothing compared to what we're going to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank the Lord for Jesus. Thank the Father that he lived in perfect agreement with the Father. And that perfect agreement caused salvation for us. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Puparasata parama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you for that perfect agreement in Jesus' life. That there would be no salvation for us without that agreement. Thank you for the perfect sacrifice he offered for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that all our imperfections, all our sins of disagreement are covered by the sacrifice of his blood. And thank you, Lord, we can look to you for your mercy, for your forgiveness. Oh, Father, Father, Father. Just ask the Lord to show you now. You don't go searching yourself. Let the Holy Spirit reveal areas of disagreement, either of unbelief or of disobedience, one or the other. Or both. I mean, every disagreement is either unbelief or disobedience, or a combination of the two. And bring these before him. Claim the victory of the blood. He is the Lamb of God who takes away these sins. Let him take away every element of disagreement from your life this morning. Let him bring you into that place of perfect agreement with him now, because he cleanses out all the disagreement, all the unbelief, all the doubts and the fears, all the ways in which we've disobeyed his word, giving expression to the negative things that oppose his word. You may need to say, Lord, forgive me for trying to excuse myself by saying, well, this is just a character or personality defect. Thank you that your blood covers all the defects in my life, so that nothing need undermine my unity with you and my unity with others. So Jesus says, whenever you pray, make sure that you do not hold anything against anyone. That's a pretty comprehensive statement. Just make sure that this morning you're not holding anything against anyone. Either something from the past or something that's going on now, it doesn't matter. But you're not holding on to anything against anyone. Because if you are, there's disagreement with that person and there's disagreement with God. So talk to him, just, you know, don't just stand there sort of silent. Get these things right with him. Thank you, Jesus. It's got nothing to do with feelings. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling. You decide to forgive. Hallelujah. Just as God has decided to forgive you when you forgive others. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now thank him. Thank him for that atoning power of his blood. Atoning means being at one with. That forgiveness brings you back to the place of being at one with God. At one with him in his will, in his word, in his plan and purpose for your life. So just thank him for that atoning love brings you back to the position of being at one with him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And thank him that he has made you part of the new covenant. That you live in agreement with him. Hallelujah. In the outworking of that relationship of love. Thank him that part of that covenant is to live at one in love with one another. So focus now on the positive. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm part of that covenant. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives within me to enable me to live as your covenant child, loving you, loving others, with the same love with which you have loved me. Praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Korala basandaria leto pakala sanda. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Now just tell the Lord that you choose to believe. See, belief is always a choice. Whatever is put before you in the Word, you have a choice to believe it or disbelieve it. So no matter what God says about you, you believe it. Just say, Lord, I'm setting my heart, my mind, my soul, all my strength now
in loving you by believing what you say in your word, not only about what you have done for me and who you are, but what you have made me and what you say is possible for me because I'm a child of God. I believe the revelation of your word concerning my life in Christ. I choose to believe every promise that you've given me. That, Lord, you have enriched me in every way, in all my speech and knowledge, that I lack no spiritual gift, that I have died and my life is now hidden with Christ in God, that you have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That your grace is always sufficient for me. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. That my weakness is no excuse. It's just the opportunity to depend upon your greatness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. And I set my heart, my soul, my mind on loving others as you have loved me, of living in agreement. And thank you, Lord, for the agreement that already exists here amongst us, that you have worked in our lives in these last weeks and months. We praise you for that, Lord, that there is such unity and such agreement. But Lord, we want that to go to another level because we don't want any vestige of disagreement, of anything to undermine that unity that will command the blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we pray over the whole of Kingdom Faith that we may be one, even as the Father and the Son are one, that the world might know that you have loved us, even as you loved him, that the world will believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That we will see more and more and more people coming out of darkness into light, coming into this glorious unity, coming into agreement with you, coming into agreement with us. Hallelujah. That they will be set free from all the disagreement that there's been in their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All the darkness goes with the coming of your light. And we praise you. We bless you. Come on, let's exalt the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Popara satabari eletu pakalasandama. Bapara satabari eletu pakalasandarama. O papara satabari eletu pakalasinama. O papara satabari eletu pakalasandama. O papara satabari elenama. You know, all Christians claim an open heaven, but what God makes clear is that where there is that unity, there is always an open heaven. So let's thank him for an open heaven now. Thank him for an open heaven. You know, the vision that God gave some years ago, and it's still the vision over Kingdom Faith, was of this open heaven. You know, if you have like a big bucket of water, for example, and you just turn the bucket over, the water hits the ground and spreads out in every direction. And what this vision was this open heaven and the light of God coming down upon us. And just like that water, spreading out in every direction, like a boom, like the power of God coming upon us and spreading out in every direction. It was a very powerful prophetic vision. And I still believe that vision to be fulfilled. Amen. I believe we're seeing much blessing from God already. These have been precious weeks of prayer and fasting. At least they have for me. And I believe they have for many others. But it's all in preparation for what God is going to do. And it isn't going to be just an event, but that open heaven is going to, it's going to be like a waterfall, not a bucket of water, but like a waterfall constantly pouring down, and that water constantly, living water, the living water of God Himself, constantly spreading out in every direction. We praise you, Lord. And I believe, Lord, you want it to be a mighty waterfall. Not just a little trickle, but a mighty waterfall of your love, of your grace, of your power, pouring down, pouring from heaven, dispersing all around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, right, that it'll be too much for us to contain ourselves. It'll just have to impact multitudes of other people all over the 25-mile radius, all over the nation and beyond. It's going to be so powerful that we will see the fulfillment of everything that you have promised us. And we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. Bless your holy name. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And thank you for everything that you're doing in our hearts and lives now. Thank you for all the encouragement that you're giving us. Thank you, Lord, for the way people are meeting with you. Not just here at Rafi, but all the members of the church. Thank you. There are so many testimonies around of how you are impacting lives in a new way during this time of prayer and fasting. Thank you, Lord, that as we give you the tithe, so we're going to see. We're going to see the blessings coming back. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we are proving you in this. Hallelujah. And you want us to prove you in that, that as we give the tithe of this year is going to be a year of phenomenal blessing. And we praise you, Jesus. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Hallelujah. Sarabata parasandarama. O papara sarabari aledo pakala sandama. O papara sarabari aledo pakala sandama. O papara sarabari aledo. Thank you that camp this year is going to be at another level from anything that we've known before. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The miracles are going to be at another level from what we have seen. Thank you, Lord, that everything is going to go up to another level. We praise you. We bless you. Bazandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sinama. O papara sarabaria leto bakala sandama. O rataparia leroba. O papara sarabaria leto bakala sinama. O paparia leto bakala sitaba. O paparia sitaba lam doria leto bakala sandama. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Papara sarabaria leto bakala sandama. Oh, well. Cool. We've just got to somehow praise God. I mean, just praise Him. Not just in a little shout, but come on, let's just praise the Lord for a few minutes. Oh, we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Papara sarabari aleto bakala sandama. Oh, papara sarabari aleto bakala situri sandama. O papara sarabari aleto bakala situri sandama. O papara sarabari aleto bakala situri sandama. O papara sarabari aleto ba. O papara sarabari. O papara sarabando. O papara sarabari aleto bakala situri. O papara sarabari aleto bakala situri sandama. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Yes, 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 Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, you are majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, the worker of wonders. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, says Jesus, will do the same things as I have been doing. And greater things still will he or she do because I go to the Father. And what did he do? He poured out the Holy Spirit when he went to the Father. Hallelujah. So you will do the same things and greater things still. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.